Welcome to Celebration Church. We are here again, streaming live. At least we hope that we are streaming live. And we want to welcome you to our second quarantine live stream Sunday. We hope that you are enjoying your coffee and your pajamas on your couch, and that you're ready to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us. This morning, what we're going to do, and we're progressing as we do this, in trying to figure out the best way to make this happen. We have some worship set aside. Chris from our worship team is going to be leading us. You're not going to see him on camera. We're going to have the words behind me so you can worship right where you're at. But just gather your family around. You know, it is so important for the church to stay connected and people to stay connected. The original intent of social media was the connection of people. We can do this to the glory of God, and we would love it if you would host this as a watch party if you're watching on Facebook, or share the link if you're watching on YouTube. If you didn't realize we could do that, you can go to celebrationchurchwv.com, and you can go to either one. But we are just really excited. Thank you so much to Dan and Daryl and everybody involved that has helped us make this happen. So I've been told that it's better at the beginning of a live stream to give everybody a little bit of time to get in. So hopefully that is what's happening. And let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to turn it over to Chris for some worship, and then we are going to dive into Genesis chapter 30 and 31 and see what's going on with Jacob. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come before you this morning in Jesus' name, and Lord, we thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you have made. Lord, we rejoice. We are glad in it. And we are going to worship you. This is totally out of the ordinary for a lot of us. Lord, I pray that you would fill hearts and homes with your presence. And I pray, God, that you would show yourself strong on our behalf. As we draw near to you, Lord, we pray that you draw near to us. That is your promise in James, and we thank you for that. God, we give you glory and praise. We ask that you would bless everybody watching and that you would be glorified in all that we're doing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Forget I'm helpless. Arise, O Lord, lift up your eyes. Don't forget I'm helpless. Arise, O Lord, lift up your eyes. Don't forget I'm helpless. Arise, O Lord, lift up your eyes. Don't forget I'm helpless. Oh, you lead me to waters and pastures so green. Oh, you pour out your oil and choose goodness and mercy for me. Oh, you lead me to waters and pasture so green. Oh, you pour out your oil and choose goodness and mercy for me. I will not be in want. No, I will not be in want. No, I will not be in want. No, I will not be in want. I will not fear. You comfort me. I will not fear. You're with me. I will not fear. You comfort me. I will not fear. Oh, you're with me. I will not fear. You comfort me. I will not fear. O Lord, lift up your eyes. Don't forget I'm helpless. Arise, O Lord, lift up your eyes. Don't forget I'm helpless. Arise, O Lord, lift up your eyes. Don't forget I'm helpless. Arise, O Lord, lift up your eyes. Don't forget I'm helpless. Oh, you lead me to waters and pastures so green. Oh, you pour out your oil and choose goodness and mercy for me. Love, you're perfect. You cast out all my fears. You cast out all my fears. My love, you're perfect. You cast out all my fears. You cast out all my fears. Love, you're perfect. You cast out all my fears. You cast out all my fears. Praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you that you are here. You said if we're gathered together in your name, that you are right there in the midst of us. God, we thank you for your abiding presence. We thank you, God, that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, you never leave or forsake. And Lord, we thank you that the people that are watching, Lord, that they are hearing from you. We pray, God, that their ears would, they would be given ears to hear by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that there would be comfort today, that there would be assurance in hearts. And Lord, I thank you that in the midst of a world-altering moment, God, you have not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are a God of covenant promises and faithfulness. Lord, help us to hear what your word is teaching today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I am all by myself, sort of. I've got a couple guys here helping. My wife is sitting, and I'm going to keep looking at her because I need somebody to look at, and I'm glad it's her that I get to look at today while I'm preaching. You don't realize how much you depend on the people that you're talking to, so I'm going to do my very best. Couple things, housekeeping issues. For those of you watching the live stream, we would love for you to share the video, share on your page. You can host this as a watch party. That would be great if you're doing it on Facebook. Having some strange issues with YouTube, you can go to our website and then get to the YouTube live stream. But what you can't do is go to YouTube and search and find us yet. We don't know why. We are amateurs, fledglings, flailing about trying to figure it out. So we will get it figured out, but you can go to the website and then go. Maybe if you start subscribing to the channel, it will do something. We're not sure, but we're working on that. If you're visiting with us, we can't see you, but we're glad that you're here. Let us know. Send us a virtual visitor card. You can go to the Facebook page or to the website and contact us. Send us your information. We promise we're not going to show up at your house, especially right now. But we would like to know, if you want to put in there, please don't contact me. I just wanted to let you know we were visiting. Or, hey, interested in your church. We would love to know that you're out there. So that's what's going on right now. Also, if you go to the Facebook page, the church, Celebration Church page, Tabitha has put out some information for our children's church ministry. And if you have children, we have some stuff that they can be involved with and do. We would really encourage everybody to get on board and do that. So, with those things said, everybody turn in your Bibles, and you should have one. You're at home. You didn't forget it. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 30. So, we have been going through the book of Genesis for about a year and a half. We've made it to chapter 30. Our intention, our hope, is to get to the end of Genesis by this time next year. It may be quicker than that. We're not sure. We don't know what the Lord has in store. But we're gonna just keep moving right along. If you're not familiar with what we're doing, we're just going verse by verse through the book of Genesis, and that's what we've been doing for a couple different books of the Bible, and that's the way we do it. If you want a fancy word, it's called expository preaching, and that's what we're trying to do. So since there's a lot of people maybe unfamiliar with where we have been, and because our lives have been turned topsy-turvy upside down recently, let me just do a quick review of where we are in the life of Jacob. So we have Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob. Those are the three patriarchs that are mentioned almost as a byword throughout Jewish history. They just use that phrase all the time in reference to the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that phrase is used because these guys in Genesis that God established his covenant with and made the promise sure are incredibly important. So important that the bulk of Genesis is taken up with their story and how the nation of Israel was birthed. And as a result, the covenant that God had intended for all of the world through Israel, through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to us. So that's what we're talking about. Let me just review some of the things we've looked at about a covenant that God promised. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, God visited a moon worshiper, Abraham, whose name was Abram at the time, and just the introduction is this: get up and go to the land that I'm calling you to. And God lets Abram know that I am going to do something through you. You are going to be the father of many nations. And if you look up at the stars of the heavens and the sand of the sea, your descendants will be more than this. And he says, I'm going to give you the land. And he says, those who bless you, I will bless. And those who dishonor you are going to be cursed. And he says, you're going to birth kings and nations. And he's just reaffirms this promise throughout Genesis in 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 with Abram, and then God changes his name to Abraham. God also shows us that with each wife, excuse me, with each wife, live streaming coughing. Sorry, everybody. I'm okay, I promise. I'm okay. God shows us through all the wives of these patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Leah and Rachel, you see that they had issues. What we really dove into throughout this series is that none of these guys, though viewed as almost superheroes, none of these guys were perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Not even close. Abraham is called the father of faith, and yet he had all kinds of doubts. That's why you have an Ishmael. He wants to do it his own way. They laugh at some of the stuff that God says, and God still worked his plan through Abraham. Isaac and Rebekah, we spent a lot of time on some of their issues and their family issues. And the fact that Isaac wanted to go with Esau rather than Jacob, even though God had told Rebekah that Jacob was going to be the one that the promise was going to come through. We've went through all of this. Something I really want to point out is God was showing himself strong on their behalf through their weakness. So God, the encouragement for all of us is God is not looking for perfection from his people. God is looking for faithfulness and obedience, and then he works his plan through even our weakness and our meager efforts. And the encouragement is that you do not have to be perfect for God to use you. You do, however, have to be somebody who is willing and obedient to follow after God. And you're not going to do that perfect either. The key that you see throughout this covenant promise is that God establishes the covenant, that God superintends over the covenant, God empowers them to live by the covenant, and he works with and through the weaknesses that these people have, and his forgiveness and his mercy is constant and new every morning. Something else to point out through all of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is they all struggled to give birth. Sarah was barren, so Isaac was a miracle child. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, was barren, cried out to God, and she then had the twins, Esau and Jacob, but she struggled. And then in the life of Jacob, you have Leah and Rachel, and there were struggles there between each other, but Rachel initially struggling to have a child, and then eventually God opens her womb. And so the thing that we look at is that even though they were foolish frequently and had weaknesses and struggles, they were also faithful to God and God's covenant promise. So that's where we've been. You can go back into the podcast and listen to the different sermons where we've dealt with that in a lot more detail. But let's dive in to Genesis chapter 30, and we're going to start with verse 25. I'm going to try to get this morning all the way through chapter 31, verse 16. I normally would read it all and then talk about it, but what we're going to do this morning is I'm just going to take bite-sized chunks. So I'm going to read verses 25 through 34. Follow along in your Bibles and then notes. We're going to talk about Jacob and Laban. Verse 25, as soon as Rachel had born Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own home country, my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it. Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came and it has increased abundantly and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? I think that's as far as we want to go right now. Actually, let's read a few more verses. Verse 31. He shall I give you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later. When you come to look into my wages with you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. Laban said, good, let it be as you have said. Okay, that's where I wanted to stop. Let's remember something else in review. We talked about the covenant and the promise and the faithfulness of God. Laban is a deceiver. So is Jacob. Jacob's a deceiver. Laban is a deceiver. And Laban has been one-upping Jacob in the deception contest because Jacob deceived his own father to receive the blessing that was going to be his anyway through God, But this was the crooked stick moment where Jacob deceives by putting on the goat skin and tricking his dad, Isaac. But then he runs into Laban and wants to marry Rebekah. And instead, Laban, on the night of the wedding, gives him Leah in the dark. He doesn't know, and he wakes up the next morning, and he's not married to who he thought he was. And he had agreed to 7 years of labor for that. And then Laban extracts an additional 7 years out of him by saying, if you want to marry Rachel, you've got to work for me another 7 years. So Jacob winds up with two wives, one he doesn't want and one that he does, and 14 years of indentured servitude. That created all kinds of issues and problems within Jacob's family. But Laban is a crafty guy. And so at the end of this 14 years, and Jacob now has his 12 sons, he wants out. He wants it to be over. He wants to move on. So they come up with a deal. Because if you look here, Jacob tells Laban, hey, you had little before I got here, and now you've got a lot. God's blessed me. And Laban is acknowledging, now he says in verse 27 that he found out by divination or some kind of witchcraft, we're not entirely sure, some kind of something that was not good, found out, yeah, this is proof that God has blessed me because of you. So Laban is, even though he arrived at this conclusion from a wrong source, and this will be condemned later in the law of Moses, divination is not something they're allowed to do, but the answer that he arrived at was correct. God had blessed Laban because of Jacob. And this is because of the covenant that God has with Jacob. God's going to bless Jacob. And because Jacob is in the service of Laban, as a result, Laban is blessed, and he knows this. It's kind of like knowing you have a golden goose. He does not want to give up the golden goose that lays the golden eggs, and Jacob is the golden goose. And he wants to figure out, okay, what can we do to work something out? And Jacob says, listen, I don't want anything from you, but instead what I will agree to do, because he doesn't have anything. All that he actually got was two wives. He doesn't have any real possessions yet because all of the work that he's done up until this point has been on behalf of Laban. So he says, hey, I want something for myself, and I'm not going to take anything from you. Let me continue to shepherd your flocks, and what I'll do is the ones that are striped or mottled or discolored, they have multiple collars, or all the baby black lambs, I will take those as mine. That way it'll be easy to see which ones are which. And so they agree to that deal. And really, to be honest, what Jacob has done is he's agreed to take the animals that are actually they're harder to sell because everybody wanted the solid collar animals. That seems like a good deal, a fair deal, and Laban agrees to it, but something is wrong. Laban alters the deal. Look at verse 35. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. So Laban agrees to the deal. You can have all the spotted and striped ones, and then immediately takes all the spotted and striped animals and sends them 3 days away. This is how Laban deals with Jacob. Now, if you want to just insert real quick something real practical and something that should be obvious, the way that the world deals with the people of God is frequently like Laban deals with Jacob. The way that you may experience life is going to frequently feel the way that Jacob and Laban felt. What you and I need to see in here is that when God has a covenant with his people, eventually something great is going to happen. You have to go through Laban frequently to get to the covenant promise that God has. So, and that may be ultimately, and we talked about this last week, our real hope is in heaven. It's not tied up in what we're seeing here on this earth. Your entire life may feel like you've dealt with Laban in one way, shape, form, or another, but that doesn't mean that you could have 80 years of dealing with frustration and Labans and deceptions and betrayals and problems and issues. If you get heaven at the end of that, you've won because you've got the greatest thing in the world. And when I say heaven, I mean the Lord Jesus Christ and the entering into His everlasting joy and entering into His presence, because that is the hope of a Christian. And we're going to see here how God is faithful to His covenant. So Laban deceives him because he's a liar and because he's a cheat. And so look at what Jacob does. Now this is, let's just go ahead and say, what I'm about to read is weird. Don't have anything else to say about it. It's weird. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible that is head-scratching. I love that Scripture does not try to sanitize everything into some sort of perfect, fits within a nice little fundamental square that we've established. God just is honest and lays out all the time exactly what's going on. Sinfulness, problems, evil, the work of Satan, all of this stuff shows up in Scripture and how people did things on occasion like this is a little weird. So let's read what Jacob does when he finds out that Laban has tricked him. Verse 37, then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, or almond, and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Okay, what are we going to say about this? This is the fun of preaching through verse by verse by verse. You know, when you read in the commentaries about what's going on here, there's nobody really knows what in the world. He peeled sticks, signifying that they were striped, and then he put them in the water trough because when the animals would come to the water trough, they also, that's where breeding took place. And so he's setting sticks in front, and every time he does this, those babies that are being born are striped or dismodeled or have spots. And every time, and now this does make sense, that the stronger ones are breeding, that's when he would put the sticks out so that they would give birth to the mottled and the discolored goats and sheep and all of the livestock. And that does make sense because having the stronger animals, that makes sense in breeding. But the sticks don't make any sense. The sticks and the way that works, this is not, I don't think a farmer today can go out and carve some sticks and create this scenario. I really think what Jacob is doing and what Jacob is demonstrating is a faith towards God that even though Laban has betrayed him on their agreement was, I'm going to take these and you're going to take those. I'm going to take the striped and the spotted. And he's betrayed. He's demonstrating faith that, wait, God said that he was going to bless me. God said that my grandfather Abraham, my father Isaac, and now me, that he's going to make a great nation of us. God has said that, and I am going to trust him. So That is what I believe is happening here. He is trusting in God. And, you know, I think all of us have probably done weird things that made sense to us in a way to trust God. I was thinking of a time when I was scared sleeping as a teenager. It's embarrassing to even admit I was scared of the dark. So you're scared of the dark. You're a teenager. You're not supposed to be scared of the dark. And yet I was. And so when I was scared of the dark, I used to have to make sure that my head was up against the wall with a wall behind me, and I'm laying in such a way that I am facing the door. That way, if something is coming to get me, I would be able at least to face the thing coming rather than having your back to it. If anybody's ever had trouble sleeping or scared, I think it makes perfect sense. You can't have your back to the door because it's terrifying. You have to be facing the door and have the covers up for protection as a shield. None of it makes sense. That's the way fear works. So I remember as an act of faith, now there's no scripture for this, as I was trying to overcome this fear and trust God that no boogeyman was coming to get me, I would actually roll over and put my back to the door. Now that, if somebody was telling my story, that'd be like, okay, what's the big deal? What does that have to do with anything? For me, it was an act of faith. For me, it was, I'm going to trust that nothing's coming in here to get me, and I'm going to go to sleep in the peace that God provides. So couple nights of that, and God really did help me out. So that's a weird and embarrassing story I just shared over the internet. However, I take this story to be something similar as an act of trust, and that's as far as I'll take it because I really don't know. There's nowhere else where people tried to do this. So I take this as Jacob is trusting God, and God is faithful to do what God said he would do. In fact, verse 43, thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants and camels and donkeys, meaning Jacob's wealth is growing. And this echoes exactly what was said of Isaac and exactly what was said of Abraham, that they grew in their wealth and they grew in their possession because God is in the process of making a nation. And it doesn't matter if Laban shows up. It doesn't matter if he's cheated. God's going to get him where he needs to be in the right time. And that is the thing about the way God works. It so seldom happens the way that we think that it should or would or even could. You and I are always wrong when we get out our notebook and our pencil and try to figure out how God might do something. We do make plans, the book of Proverbs says, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. There's many plans in the heart of man, and that's fine. We should plan and make provisions. That's what's going on right now. We should plan and make provisions for things like 6 feet of social distancing and washing your hands and all that kind of stuff and trying to be cautious. But at the same time, God is the one who's in charge of our lives. God is who is in control. God's the one that's going to get us where he wants to get us when he wants to get us there. And that is so important because if he spent 14 years working for the two wives, this period of time here with the flocks is an additional 6 years, which we find out in chapter 31. So we're talking about 20 years. Now, if you go back to 2 weeks ago in the sermon we talked about Jacob being a crooked stick, I want to take you back to chapter 28. And I want you to look with me at what Jacob said to God at the beginning of his journey, before Rachel, before Leah. Look at what he says. This is after he has the vision, the dream. Chapter 28, verse 20. He's had a dream. He's met with God. This is the ladder, seeing the angels ascending. And Jacob, in verse 20, makes a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. This is the exact opposite of what he should have said. He should have said, Lord, I will go where you want me to go, and I will do what you're calling me to do, and I believe that you're the same God of Abraham and Isaac, and now me, Jacob, and you are doing what you said. Instead, he says, if God comes through, then I will. And that was the immaturity of Jacob. But 20 years go by to where we are now, and he's experienced this in the grinding wheel of sanctification that God has over time in our life, over all these experiences with Laban. God is working in his life. Jacob is breaking, in a good way, in that merciful sanctification process that God has. And we're about to see the blessing of God peeking through, like all the trees and all the green you're seeing outside right now. Look at, let's go to chapter 31, as we just read verse 43. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. It's time to go. It's time to go, because after the 14 years of servitude and now the 6 years of the flocks, and the agreement was you get all the spotted, you get all the speckled, you get all the striped. The agreement is now 6 years into it. Jacob's got all the flocks, all the strong animals, all of them are turning out to be spotted and speckled. And Laban's flock is shrinking, and his sons and Laban are mad. They're like, this, look at what's happening. So this six-year period, God is blessing Jacob in everything that he does. Laban is not happy, and the sons aren't happy. And God comes to him and says, it's time to go back home to the land I promised you, and I'm going to be with you. So now Jacob does something great. I want you to hear the difference in the way Jacob talks now and versus what we read in chapter 28, where he's kind of giving God ultimatums. So Jacob sent and called Rachel. This is verse 4. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was and said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. See the difference? You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. Now, that's a detail that we didn't have until now. So over this period of time, lots of stuff has happened. I've lost my spot. Okay, but God did not permit him to harm me. That's wonderful. If he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flock bore spotted. And if he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Jacob is changing. Now, this change isn't over yet. This story with Jacob is not over yet. There is a lot more to go. But I want you to see how Jacob is beginning to acknowledge God is the one. God is the one. Now, he said, I worked with all my strength. I worked and did all that I knew to do, and I was cheated. And there are people who feel like that all the time. I mean, there are people trying to retire right now, and their 401k just got destroyed. There are people that feel like this isn't fair. This isn't right. What I want you to see in Jacob is keep going back to the Lord your God. Do not put your trust in your job or your skills or your families or anything other than God. Anchor your heart and your life and your faithfulness to God. Do all you can at work. Do all you can for your family, but God has got to be the source of everything that you do. He has got to be the source of your trust and your strength, and you really don't realize how important that is until you get into a moment where you're not allowed to be at church today because we're quarantined and there's all this stuff going on. This is where you find out whether or not you trust God. This is where you find out if you've been offering Him lip service and feel goodery, just going through the motions, or, okay, Lord, let's get serious. And here is the good news. If you have been offering Him lip service, if you have been just going through the motions, His mercy is right now. And He will simply say, welcome home. All you've got to do is call out to Him. Now, you may have been a Christian for a long time and been walking in your own way. But Jacob, over this 20-year period and this difficulty that he went through, he learned to say, God's the one. God's the one. God is the one that did it. God's the one. And that's what we need to be doing right now. You need to reaffirm your faith and your trust in God. And listen, I think in the life of a Christian, this reaffirmation of faith and trust in Him is just an ongoing process of our life. God loves us too much to just leave us in ease and comfort. Our goal should not be ease and comfort. Our goal should be, how do I serve God with all of my heart and with all of my strength? Which is its own glorious reward, to serve God with all of your heart and with all of your strength. God will take care of us. There are so many promises. God will take care of us. Now the wives, though we've already had a sermon about them fighting and competing, and I'm going to end with this. Look at verse 14. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion of or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. Thank God for good wives. Thank God for a good wife. In the story, thank God for good wives. We've already, listen, if you want to hear my whole thing on polygamy, go back 2 weeks. God is not in favor of polygamy. But thank God for people in your life that encourage you to do what is right. And thank God for your spouse that will stand beside you and say, let's go where God wants us to go. Let's follow His word. Let's do what He wants us to do. That is a blessing beyond belief to be on the same page. And if you're out there and you're not on the same page, and maybe one of you is a Christian, one of you aren't, just pray for the one who isn't. And if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this and your spouse is, and they somehow you're here listening to this, know that God is at work in your spouse to get to you. God is at work, and you're not listening to this by mistake. If you do not know Jesus Christ, turn to Him. This is not a game. This is not something we do because we think it's great or because we were raised in the Bible Belt. There is a reality to Jesus Christ, and His faithfulness endures throughout all generations and throughout all times. I don't know where our world is headed. I don't know what changes are afoot, both in government and in whatever's going on with the coronavirus, but I know that God is going to be faithful no matter what. No matter what happens, God's going to be faithful to His people. Take this away, and I will end. God honors His covenant. God honors His covenant always. It may take some time, but he's going to honor the covenant. The way he's going to honor the covenant in the life of a believer is not making everything perfect and easy. We go through difficulty, but what the promise of this covenant is that God is with us, and he's faithful in the middle of the difficulty. He's always faithful. He's always with us. If we lose everything we have, but Jesus is with us, then what have we lost? Jesus said the exact opposite. He said, what would it gain a man, or what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would it be worth to be the richest man or woman on planet Earth and not have a soul that was secured in the arms of Christ? You would gladly trade it all in. God is faithful, and his faithfulness is he carries his covenant people through to glory. And our hope and our joy is not rooted in 401ks. It's not rooted in even peace and safety. Our hope and joy is rooted in my soul is secure in Jesus Christ. That is the source of my joy. If I lose everything and I live in a tent city in some apocalyptic wasteland, I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying. If I have Jesus, I have everything. God's faithful. And this story of how God moves in the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob demonstrate that God is faithful in all circumstances. And I've already said this a lot, but I'm going to just end with this. Point number two of today's sermon is our growth includes pain, frustration, and blessing. It includes all of it. God grew and is growing Jacob through the difficulty and the pain of Laban and his deceptions. But the blessing is God's going to honor what he said, and he's going to get Jacob where he needs to go. And that is what God's going to do in all of our lives. God grows all of us up and sanctifies us, moves us closer to him through difficult times. But hanging on to Christ, grabbing a hold of him as the sure anchor of the soul is the way to take that wild ride with God. And he grows you and grounds us in him so that we are stable, standing on the rock of his promises, knowing I will not be shaken, not by my own strength, but because of what I'm standing on. The Lord Jesus Christ, he will sustain me and carry me and keep me. And that is the hope that we have right now. Praise the Lord. Now, normally I would just dismiss and have everybody shake hands, but we're not doing that today. So why don't we end today by prayer? And I do want to say we didn't take up an offering. But if you would like to give, and we do appreciate all the faithful supports of our Celebration Church family, you can go to our website, celebrationchurchwv.com, and you can click donate. It will take you to the Tithely page, and you can donate that way. You can go to the Tithely app. You can bring it by the church if you want, Monday through Friday. Our church administrator, my wife, is here, and you can give it to her as well. So we appreciate your support in all of this. Let's pray, and let's be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would get rid of all the sharp brambles I may have offered this morning, and God, you would just give your people the meat, the hay that we need. Lord, I pray that you would bless this and you would help people by it. God, that we would be in constant remembrance and knowledge that you are our source and you are a covenant God who is faithful. Lord, I pray that those that don't know you, Lord, that they would come to saving knowledge of you, that you would open their eyes by the power of the Holy Spirit to see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we honor you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.